That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, ball for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, everybody. This is Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And no, I'm not alone here today, but they're trying to get hooked up on the phones. I think we'll all four be here today. Sun's just now coming up over the mountains, and it's a beautiful day here. I think we should open up with prayer. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This day that the world might just look at as another day, but Lord, every day is a good day with you. We thank you that you take the time, Lord, to be with us all the time, and we'll let you. Lord, we thank you for the Son who died on the cross for us and gave us that redeeming, that redemption that we needed, for we were lost, that brought us back to the fold. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and by the death of you and the death of us through baptism, we were reunited. Lord, we thank you so much for that. We ask for your Holy Spirit guidance and direction this morning, not only on the four of us, but on the remnant, on all those that are out there, on those that will call in, Lord, that we can have good fellowship one with another and go about the rest of the day with a good spirit. Lord, again, we thank you so much. We ask for your protection. We prayed on the armor this morning, Lord, and we ask for that faith, that shield of faith that will Well, deflect all the fiery darts of the evil ones, Lord. And again, I say thank you. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Remnant. And as Kyle said, sorry for the little delay there. We just had to change the phone lines a little bit, but we are coming to you live this January 18th, halfway through the month already. This year's flying by just like last year did. But we're glad to be here and blessed, abundantly blessed to be here. And we thank you for joining us. And we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later and see if anybody has any comments. And Kyle and I were talking before the program, just if anybody seen anything big on the news they wanted to talk about. And Kyle mentioned he hadn't watched the news lately. I don't blame him. I haven't either. Just haven't had a chance this week. Been working on the newsletter and some other things. And so thought we'd turn it down there to the Colorado gentleman. Didn't know if, Jason, what's your take on things? What do you see is kind of going on right now that the Remnant need to know about?
Well, what do you got to be aware of? I mean, I think the most important thing is not fear. I mean, and you know, recognize that you know, you look at things in the news and you see these things, and you know, don't fear it. I mean, because you know, their destruction is going to be different than ours, and there's a time for the destruction of the wicked. And a lot of times people look at these news things and everything and they think that it's coming down upon them. Well, it doesn't have to. You know, and I just encourage people to make that discernment. You know, California came out yesterday and you know, they declared a drought emergency. And they're saying that there's not going to be enough drinking water in the state of California. You know, that's significant, you know, if you look at it. But at the same time, it's one of those things that, you know, as you see things going on like this, you know, don't panic. I mean, you know, trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. And that's what I really encourage people to do. It's interesting because this California drought, I mean, it's interesting because you get California with the drought, and then you get this with this chemical spill out in West Virginia. In certain ways, that's a drought as well, because I mean they got water out there, but the problem is the water, they can't drink it, and you know it's things that you know people need to be aware of, but you know at the same time you don't need to fear it. It was interesting because they had. Out there where that chemical spill took place, you know, there was several stories that I saw that were different organizations, groups. There was one group of churches that had gathered up a bunch of water and were sending semi-loads of water into drinking water and to help the people out that were affected by that chemical spill. And it was seized by FEMA at a roadblock and turned over, and they decided that they were going to use it to help government employees. And it wasn't going to anybody. They were distributing it, but it was going to nobody but government employees. And, you know, if that don't show you whose side they're on, then I don't know what does. But,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, it seems like there's two instances of the drought that we're seeing in the news today, and you know, drought was a biblical form of punishment.
Amen.
I agree, and I sure like what you said about you know to remind the people that we are not to fear. We've read that before from Psalms 91, but Psalms 91:5 says, "You will not be afraid," and we can claim that. And we have to change our way of thinking to make sure that when these things happen, that we obey that. The Bible says you will not be afraid. We are not to fear those things. You think back in the wilderness wanderings.
I think it goes right along with Philippians 1:28. No way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. And you know, you're gonna serve who you fear.
Yes.
And you know, everybody's got fear. It's one of those. It's one of those energies that is in everybody. Now, you just got to decide where your fear is going to be, and we just need to remember that our fear needs to be on God, you know, and fear God, fear the Creator, fear Him that, you know, can cast you into hell, and not fear the Antichrist forces that come against us, because, you know, I mean, that goes right along with greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us, and a person is going to have fear, but you got to harness that fear and put it to where it needs to be, and,
right.
You know, I mean, and I'm just saying that because I've talked to some people that they can't hardly, they get scared when they watch the news, and they fear it, and, you know, it needs to, you know, there's no point in even looking at it if you're going to fear it, because that doesn't do a person any good to get into that fear panic state, which a lot of people do.
Kyle?
I agree wholly. I'm just letting Jason go on because
sounds good.
I mean, he's right on because so many people waste so much of their valuable time, and time is valuable if you use it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people they've wasted years of their life listening to fear radio. I agree with Jason wholly that we should fear. We should fear God because there's going to be a day where somebody's going to be going, man, I should have feared God instead of man because now the big one's coming. You know, that
right.
That lake that's burning with, you know, unquenchable fires over there. And I didn't fear that. I feared being out of water or being out of food. The Lord said, hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. You know, and then he also said, woe to them that are full. For you shall hunger and thirst. I mean, we really gotta, you know, we really gotta watch what we fear and how we fear and who we're fearing. Just like
Amen.
Jason said.
Yeah. Amen. Excellent point. Excellent point. John, how are things in your neck of the woods?
Good. We got hurricane winds again today. Looks like.
No, those are Wyoming winds.
Yeah, we're
just taking them.
Yeah, we're just sharing them with you because we got them here too. So
keep them up there today. We are supposed to be working on a roof over at the school today. So not a good idea putting a metal roof on in the wind.
Yeah, that can be a little tough. Well, guys, we still got a couple of prayer requests. Chris called me this morning, said he's headed to the hospital to pick Missy up to bring her home. And said the hospital couldn't figure anything out. Her fever broke, and so of course Chris is, you know, attributing it to just a spiritual attack. And so he did ask for prayers and talked to my brother-in-law Gary, and he's still in the hospital. You know, day four with not being able to get his blood pressure down, and so thought we'd lift at least those two up this morning that are real current and still on our prayer chain for health and healing and deliverance. So if you guys will join me.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. As Kyle said earlier, Lord, having prayed on the full armor of God and being armored up and being able to stand against the schemes of the devil, Lord, and to stand for you and proclaim your word. Father, we do that this morning. We do lift our brethren up to you, Father, that are hurting. Father, we lift Missy up to you for deliverance. Lord, we don't know what these physical attacks are. We have an idea. But Lord, you know. And we stand with Chris. Father, we pray an extra shield of faith around his wife, Missy, Lord, that you would protect her. Lord, you would keep those fiery darts, those intentions of the evil one, Lord, keep them away. Let them deflect off her and off that family. Let them have no effect. Father, we thank you that this fever broke, that Missy is in better health to where she can go home and be in a loving family and home environment. We pray for your blessings on that. Lord, we again just come against this evil influence that would come against her. This whatever it is, Lord, evil spirit, this demon that attacks. Your word says, Lord, that we have authority over all of that. And we take that in the name of Jesus Christ and to the glory of Jesus Christ. We command you, evil forces, you stay away from Missy and Chris and their family. You be gone. And Lord, if there is anything, any choices that have been made or any conduits, Lord, we break those now. And we empower Chris and Missy both to be able to do that, Lord. We're reminded that your word says that we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pray your strength and your grace and your deliverance upon them. Father, I lift up my brother-in-law Gary at that hospital in Florida, Lord, and I pray your protection on him. I ask that you would, Lord, let his blood pressure just come down, Father. Let it be done. Let everything be fine. Let him get up and walk out of that hospital this morning, Lord. But while he's there, we do, again, pray your protection to be upon him, that no further harm or evil can come upon him, Lord. We pray that you would give him a tune-up, Father, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Let that blood pressure and creatinine levels, Lord, just regulate them out. Father, show him what he needs to do if he needs to change his diet or lifestyle or whatever it is, Father. Show that to all of us, that we can walk in your health and your grace, in obedience to you. Father, we pray, we know there's others out there of the remnant, Lord. We know that across this land, the sickness is just way too prevalent among your people, Lord. Help us remember your healing scriptures, and help your remnant, Lord, the baptized believers that are doing their best to turn away from sin and to walk away from the sin that is so prevalent in the land, Lord, and to turn and follow you. Strengthen them in doing that, Lord. Help them make the right choices, and let your health and healing flow as a result of that. We thank you for allowing us to pray to you, the living God, and we thank you for hearing and answering these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
No shortage of things to pray for or against, that's for sure.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Well, it looks like the atheists finally figured out that Scriptures for America is in the prison system with their Bible law courses, because now they're combating the biblical courses and Bibles that are being sent into the prison system with atheist books.
Wow. I saw a little something on that. I didn't get a chance to look into it. Is that what it is?
Another venture of the Freedom from Religion Foundation.
An atheist book, you mean like books that say there's no God? Is that what they're about, or what?
Yeah, I think, books written by atheists in evolution, you know,
right,
stuff like that.
So they'll have
Big Bang Theory.
They'll have a format which takes you away from God instead of towards God. I see.
Yeah,
evolution for dummies, you know, stuff like that.
Well, you know, I guess it's only natural that they do that in the prisons because, you know, as far as we know, you know, in the prison you can have a Bible and read it. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't do that in the public school system, you know, because it might offend somebody. And so the atheists, you know, they've already, the ungodly, the antichrist, those that hate Jesus Christ, the fools that they are, they've already succeeded in doing that in the public fool system. And so I guess they're just wanting to extend their reach to those that are in the prison system as well.
Well, yeah, did you see this week, too, the Muslims got a petition together to try to get Muslim holidays recognized in the public school system.
Yeah, they're already doing that in some state. I mean, in some cities, I know. I've heard that...
I'm sure Detroit.
Detroit and... I'm going to say Lansing, Michigan, maybe. I'm not sure about that, but it seems like there's several little enclaves where the Muslims have come in and just virtually taken over the local community. And
yeah, I think there's a place in Minnesota too where they
have done things
are pretty
like
heavy.
That. Yep, we just ain't played Cowboys and Muslims yet.
Yeah.
God's did anybody see that any of that stuff on the earthquake that just took place?
Mm-hmm. Where?
It was interesting because they had a 2.6 magnitude earthquake that hit L.A. And you know, 2.6 earthquake that ain't a whole lot. I mean, that ain't very powerful. But the interesting thing that about it was that it took place at the same time on the 20th anniversary of the Northridge quake that hit exactly 20 years ago from yesterday. And that Northridge earthquake, that was a magnitude of 6.7, killed 57 people, $13 billion in damage, huge you know, losses over there. I mean, they spent it took them years to rebuild of the damage that took place off of that quake. And you know, I saw that, you know, and the scientists and they're trying to figure out why. Well, what's significant about the date, or you know, and they're looking at all these different things, trying to figure out, you know, why there would have been a mini quake on the same day exactly 20 years later at the same time. And you know, that's one of those things that you know, science ain't going to be able to explain. God's in control, and you know, that ought to be a wake-up call to a lot of people, is God's still in control. And I saw that. I thought that was pretty interesting, because I mean, that's the only explanation for it.
Yeah, 20 years to the date, and just about to the time, I guess so. And I guess that would be a sign. You know, God is a God of order. And you know, there's order in nature, there's order in the stars, there's, you know, he is a God of order. It's ludicrous, somebody mentioned the Big Bang Theory, you know, that you know, there was an explosion, and everything just came into being. And, but the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and maybe he sent that sign to those in California to prove to him, or to prove to them once again. Then they say, when we stand before him, or when we stand before him in final judgment, something along the line, there'll be no excuses. Is that in there somewhere? Maybe it's just something I'm thinking, because there really won't be any, you know.
Yeah, I don't know where.
What do we read in there? His invisible attributes have been there and since the beginning of time. And you know, those antichrists, those freedom from religioners, those they know that God is there. They just choose to disbelieve. They choose to be in rebellion. I think so anyway. And they'll have their pay.
A form of mocking.
It absolutely. I think you hit it right on.
The attitude is, you know, ain't gonna do anything to me. Ain't gonna harm me at all.
Right. Yeah, and they think, when they die, they just, you know, become one with the universe, and just, yeah, it's just foolishness. It's hard to think that way. I guess it's enough to just understand that they think that way. It's one of those things that's hard to wrap your head around, that's for sure. You know, you'd mentioned the prison ministry, and thought I'd touch base on that real quick, just to remind people of the we don't talk about it a lot, we don't advertise it a lot, but Scriptures for America, and if you support Scriptures for America, of course it's your ministry as well, but we do have a rather large and growing presence in the prisons, prison ministry.
Now, you're not suggesting that people go out and get themselves thrown in prison so our ministry.
So they can be part of that. Now, I don't have to suggest that to them, Kyle, because they're doing that on their own.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They are. That's a whole other subject. But anyway, we do. We have a have always had a large prison ministry. It continues to grow. One of the large things that we do is we do print the Bible Law Course, and it's a 16-part correspondence course, and we send it into the prisons for free for the prisoners to be able to take. And it basically talks about the Ten Commandments and other aspects of Bible law as they should apply to our daily lives and to our society and to our civil government. And we also send Bibles into the prisons, and as much as we can, when the prisoners request it, we do send in other books, usually ones that Pastor Peters has written and that type thing. And you know, when you support this ministry with your tithes, with your free will offerings, you also do that. You also support that prison ministry that enables us to do that. I don't know if you've noticed, but postage rates have just about doubled in the last few years. The first class postage, and I'm sure everything else, is going up in about 2 weeks. Actually, in about a week. I think this next week is the last week at the existing postal rates, and then after that, I think on the 26th, starting Monday, the 27th, the first class stamp goes up 3 cents.
Yeah,
that's one of the biggest jumps that they've had ever. And so, just wanted to share that with you to let you know, Remnant, that you know, you may not have the opportunity to go down to the prison and visit the prisoners, remember the prisoners, the way the Bible talks about. Many of us don't have time to do that. You know, there's a prison about 100 miles west of here in Rawlins. And it's just very difficult to take a day off and drive over and go in and visit physically with the prisoners. And it's like that all over the nation.
You know, and I've made fun of it before in the past, and I know the pastor did too. You know, and Alan Jackson has that song, you know, found Jesus on the, you know, jailhouse floor. You know, I mean, but the real thing about it is some people, it takes hitting bottom before they'll look up, you know. Yep. And it is nice that, because talk about idle time, talk about time that you know, they can start getting their lives right. You know, it's a great thing that we can help them out, you know. And whether it sticks, whether it's a longevity thing or it's just temporary, well, we have no control over that. All we can do is do what we can do and do what we're supposed to do. And sometimes, you know, I know a couple people that they really did find, or I hate to put it that way, they really did change their life when they hit the jailhouse floor. They really did, you know. You know, a lot of them don't, but
right.
But they did.
And it's, I look at it as it is seeds planted. You know, it's like the parable of the sower. The sower goes out and sows seeds, and I think that's what we are to do. Never been in prison, never been in jail. You know, praise the Lord. But I envision it a dark place.
Yeah,
and so anything we can do to shine the light of Christ in there, we do. And you know, Colonel Moore, who had been a prisoner, he always had you know, he'd been there, and he had a soft spot in his heart for the prisoners. And you know, not getting into why they're there, you know, the different subject. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different subject. Again, we do. We pray for the prisoners. We do what we can to get some Christian material into them. You know, we correspond with them as much as possible. And the Bible tells us to remember the prisoners. And that prison ministry, I think, does that very thing. So, again, just wanted to let you know that. I know we have a lot of new people that come on, you know, that find Scriptures for America either on the internet or on the shortwave. And that's just, that prison ministry is one of the things we do that we don't bring up a lot, but we just want to remind you, the Remnant, that...
Yeah, and God has allowed, in this world we live in, for Bibles to be available. I mean, you go to the dollar store and buy a Bible for a dollar. You know what I mean? And those things are a value commodity. I mean, we take it for granted nowadays because there's Bibles everywhere. I mean, I got shelves at home. I might have 15 different Bibles at home. I take that for granted. You know what I mean? I mean, just think about in times past where, man, probably if you had a Bible, you were probably, I mean, that was a treasure.
There might have been a Bible in the town.
Yeah, I mean, so that's pretty awesome that God has allowed the Word of God to be available like that.
You might have been killed for having it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had the pleasure of signing quite a few of those certificates from the men in prison that finished the Bible law course and anointed them with oil and prayed for those, you know, that God would change their lives for the better and that they would see the truth and stay on the straight and the narrow. So,
amen. Amen.
I think we should open the phone lines.
You think so? Well, it looks like there's one ringing right there. Maybe you looked over and saw that. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in this Saturday, January 18th, 2014. And hold on. And we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi there. This is Betty. I had a question. What prison ministries does Scriptures for America support?
Well, we, Betty, do you have a radio on or anything in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to turn that off real quick.
Now.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry.
Because I heard there's a little delay, and I heard John still explaining out. Well, Betty, we have a prison ministry. Just the Scriptures.
I was just wondering what prisons are ministered to through Scriptures for America.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a list, but there are hundreds of prisoners across the country, Tennessee, out here in Rawlins, in California, in New Mexico, in Pennsylvania, just about everywhere. If we've had people,
is it a matter of prisoners contacting you, or you know, the ministry?
Yes.
As opposed to
yes, it is
the ministry supporting prisoners in particular places, or that was my question.
Well, we've had it.
It's word of mouth within the prison.
Right. We've had it different ways. We've had wives that have written in and said, my husband is in, here's his name and number and address, and he's in prison. Would you please send him, a Bible, or would you send him the information, the newsletter? And then it seems like once we get, you know, one or two people in a particular prison that are getting the newsletter, they're sharing the newsletter. If they're getting the Bible law course, I've seen countless letters that have said, hey, my buddy Joe is doing your Bible law course. May I do that? And that type thing. And so, you know, there's no hard and fast rules. There are in the prison, but not here as far as, you know, so if you know of someone that's in prison that might benefit from it, if you have their name and address, you can send it to us, and we can send a sample newsletter and the information on what we offer, and then if they are interested, they can send that back to us, and we can get them in the Bible law course and that type thing.
May I make a suggestion that perhaps you might put that information out when you're talking about the prison ministry, you know, so that people understand, that aspect, you know, that it's not that you support one particular prison and the prisoners in that, you know, place, or I don't know if I'm making any sense to you, but...
Well, that's what we're trying to do right here, Betty.
I've been in my mind about that for a while, and...
Right.
I felt inspired to call you since I'm up this early.
Sure. Well, and you know, an example was I think of a, I won't go there, but we do. It, you know, all over the world, all over the country, and we support prisoners in prisons all over the country, as far as with the prison ministry.
Okay. Well, take care, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in this morning. And
it's a slow morning, I guess.
It is. I'm still working on coffee here. I'm starting on second cup, but that's all right. That's all right. Yeah, Jason. You know, you mentioned the earthquake, and you know, I just don't know if that gets the people's attentions anymore. You know, I think it used to. But maybe it does on an individual basis, and it's just not the masses. With as many as it seems like they've had in our lifetime in California, you would think that would move out of California. And then as soon as I think that, of course, then the thought occurs to me, hey, wait a minute. A lot of his people have moved out of California.
Yeah, they have.
They've moved down to Colorado and tried to make that Colorado, California. And, you know, I can think of two neighbors here in Laramie that I know of, and I don't know a lot of the people out here, but that have that are from California. And so, you know, maybe you know, when God has been sending these signs, maybe some of his people have been seeing them for what they are and you know, have been trying to apply the message.
It's like a, you know, coming from the construction background, it's like a punch list. You know, you go on a job and you know, you basically did your work, but then at the end of the job, all the subs have punch lists. And the first time through the punch list, there's quite a few things. And it's kind of like God collecting the remnant. You know, I mean, as time goes, as we come down towards the end, the punch list is getting smaller. You know, I mean, the collection, the calling his people, his remnant, it's getting smaller for him because the tares are just being left. And, you know, so you don't see a mad, you know, when you see a horrible thing happen in New Orleans, or remember the World Series game that they had that earthquake in San Francisco. Most of those people, not all those people, we have some people there, but most of those people are tares. I mean, they're not very good people. That's why they'll, you know, walk down the street with not wearing hardly any clothes at certain times of the year. You know what I mean? Because they're not part of God's punch list. They're not part of his collection. You know, so I think that's kind of why we don't see people, you know, they have an earthquake waking up, because really the core of the remnant has already been woken up, you know, and it's still calling some. I'm not saying the remnant still ain't being called, but it's getting to the point now to where it's almost a separation period, the sheep from the goats and the tares from the wheat, you know, I mean, to where, you know, why would you live, you know, in a place where they do things like they do in New Orleans and San Francisco. And I'm not saying everybody there is evil. I'm just saying, you know, there comes a point where you got to get out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good point. Well, let's go back to the phone lines.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. It's Tom calling from Missouri.
Good morning, Tom.
I'm just sitting here enjoying my coffee and listening. Jason was talking about fear, and it got me to thinking, you know, that all of these reports, and there's so many radio, I don't have a TV, but, you know, I can scan the dial on the radio and pick up all these guys saying all this different horrible stuff's going to happen, or they got this, or they got that, and I don't really fear. I usually have to deal with my anger, because I'm just like, how dare you, you know, and then I have to, you know, the spirit checks me and says, hey, now, wait a minute, you know, because sometimes if I'm not careful, it's like I start to get a little self-righteous with my anger. It's not holy anger, and I know there's a difference. I don't know if anyone else ever has that problem.
No, none of us ever get angry out here, so we really don't know what you're talking about.
You guys always seem so soft-spoken. I figured you didn't.
That's funny. Yeah, we deal with that all the time, or at least I deal with that all the time, is you know, I mean, because, you know, our lives are supposed to be in Jesus Christ, you know, so we really don't, we really don't have that factor working with us where the fears of the world come upon us. When we have issues, like when I have issues, I mean, the first thing I'll do is not fear. The first thing I'll be implored to do or inclined to do is confess my sins, because I know I'm the issue. Let's say I run out of water. I know I'm the issue why God allowed me to run out of water.
Yep.
And I better confess my sins and get right with God. You know what I mean? As far as the worldly fear, yeah, I'm with you. I tend more to get angry about stuff. That's why it's better off probably that I don't watch the news. You know, why should I go to bed, you know, angry? You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And the thing that I've noticed, you know, I mean, I just got baptized this past May, like I've called it before, but realizing some of pastor's teachings and some of the stuff that the different programs y'all do, talking about like the fluoride water and the aspartame and the stuff and watching what you eat and all of that. And I can honestly say watching that and trying to eliminate that stuff has cleared up my thinking, I guess is the easiest way to say it. And I think that maybe that's part of the tools of the enemy to cloud up the remnant that hasn't come out yet. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
In the, to quote Pastor Peters, you're getting smarter. and you know, we all are. And Tom, I think all of us are nodding our head, yes. I know Kyle and I are in here. You know, absolutely. The fluoride and the you know, the sugars, and I mean, everything. It's out and out war. And you know, but we have the scriptures we have to lean on that, you know, we can take deadly poison and it won't kill us. You know, but if we find out that there's poison in something, it's probably smart to not keep taking it. that type thing. But and you know, that anger, I think that's what comes up. I think it's a righteous anger. You know, when the Bible says that, you know, to have the mark of Christ, those of us that get the mark of Christ are those that are what? That are sighing and groaning at the abominations. That's one of the marks of Christ, right? I mean, you brought that out in a scriptural insight. Very enlightening to see that. And so, you know, if you're sighing and groaning, it's not because you're happy about everything, you know? And you know, Tom, don't dismiss all that anger. You know, why aren't we angry at a million abortions a year?
Yeah.
Why aren't we? You know, why aren't we angry when, you know, some illegal alien, you know, rapes and kills some 12-year-old girl, and then they slap him on the wrist and say, "Well, we here you go. Go ahead. You have to leave. We can't do anything with you." Why aren't we angry? You know, beyond what we are.
Right.
Well, anytime you see injustice, you know, it's, you know, we're supposed to, righteousness is
right.
Is justice. So whenever we see something unjustice, unrighteous, you know, it should light a fire under us. You know, that's not right.
Right. Yeah, we can be angry and sin not.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's my thing is. Determining, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still young in the Lord. Not a young man, but I'm young in the Lord, and I'm still learning. So it's sometimes that anger, I do feel like it's right, and I get on my knees and I pray about it. And then sometimes I feel like when I pray about it, I'm like, well, that wasn't really placed right, you know. So you know, I'm still learning, you know. I appreciate all your guys' direction. You know, it does help. It helps immensely.
Well, good. You know, I don't have it marked here. I forget just where it is in the Psalms, where you know, David said, "Do I not hate those that hate thee, O Lord? I hate them with the utmost hatred." You know, that was anger. You know, he didn't love Goliath less. He hated him because that Goliath had cursed his God and was an enemy of his God. And we can still have that. You know, that is an example. David is a type of Christ. And, you know, when he had that righteous indignation,
that should be an example for us. We should hate evil. And we should get angry and mad when we see that, you know. And but it's just so prevalent in the land. It's just so everywhere that, you know. Unfortunately, we sometimes don't. Well, Tom, thanks for the call. We'll try to get one of these other callers on.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And the phone line's ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Man, I've got a problem. I'm sitting out here on the deer stand. It's 24 degrees and my coffee's gotten cold.
Josh, you just got to tough it out, buddy. That's all I can tell you. You know, you just got to persevere and...
24 degrees in Louisiana, you do have a problem.
That's cold. That's cold there.
You're sitting on a deer stand. You don't have any problems.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Oh, yeah.
But, maybe in a few minutes, Josh, you can be warming up your hands inside of a rib cage, pulling out the guts.
That's what I'm planning on. I've prayed about it, and I'm sitting here waiting. So. But just had a comment on what you all were talking about in fall. The remnant, and in every Bible story that we read, that there was a remnant, and their destruction being the tares, the unrighteous people, the ones that are not righteous in Christ, in their destruction, there was a remnant that was spared, but that remnant was found trying to be a remnant. They were being different, and they were doing the Lord's work. And just something that kind of struck me, it's simple, but it is a truth that they were making an effort.
And that really shows you where you need to be.
That's right. And I just want to encourage people that are baptized believers in Christ to make an effort to pray about the small things. I just had an answer prayer 20 minutes ago or something. I was sitting here on the stand listening to y'all. I've been listening since before daylight. And you came on with the live program, and my phone went dead. And I just looked at it, and it had 38% battery. And it went dead, and it said that I had to plug it in for it to work again. Got mad. I was like, oh, I've got 38% battery. And I recognized it as an attack from Satan. I prayed about it and said, Lord, you know, make this phone work. And, you know, I asked him to make my phone work. And I kept trying to turn it on. And I prayed about it again. And lo and behold, my phone came back on, you know, and went back to working perfectly. And I know it sounds silly, but you got to start somewhere. And you've got to feel this isn't, you don't start out weightlifting by bench pressing 400 pounds. You know, you, not saying that you can't with divine intervention. I don't want to limit prayer in any way. I'm just saying that we are justified to pray about everyday life, the small things. When you see those answered prayers, it strengthens you. It builds you up.
Amen. Amen. Well, Josh, sure appreciate the call, and best of luck on the deer stand this morning. Send us a picture. And
thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. And we'll stay with the phone lines here. Hey, welcome to Coffee. Thanks for holding.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Andre here in Connecticut.
Good morning, Andre.
Yes. The caller before was talking about, you know, just being angry. Well, during the crowd, you know, why are you angry, Andre? Well, I don't know where to start. It's such a big thing to deal with that, you know, you can't say any one thing. But what's going on, of course, there used to be a great bumper sticker that I saw around here for a while. If you're not enraged by now, you obviously don't know what the hell is going on. So that's really great. But You know, and it's just so saddening. I mean, I look at these children, they've got no future. They're being dumbed down, and they're programmed to be hooked into the electronic beehive. They don't run around the lawn, chase each other, and laugh. I mean, it's this is Fairview County. It's an extension of New York. But this is, you know, it's almost impossible. I've only seen, I think, one little group of kids on the front lawn playing with one another in all the 3 years, going on four, I've been here. And I'm moving around a lot, you know. Lots of residential homes that go by, and jungle gyms and all kinds of things. Kids aren't playing on those. But I see everybody walking around, 7-year-old kids with cell phones and iPads, and it's unbelievable. But, you know, there's a lot to weep over.
There is.
You know, you're talking about the prison ministry and the prisons in this country. It's a growth industry. But people have to be aware that the, what's called the justice system is the just us system. It's just them.
Yeah.
It's the Talmudic terror system. And it's referred to as the one department as the criminal justice department. And it's aptly called that because it is a criminal justice department.
It is. People need to have their eyes open to that, that's for sure.
And they don't see, they, you know, words don't mean anything to people anymore. They can't see what's right in front of their eyes.
Yep. Well, Andre, hey, thanks for the call. Don't mean to cut short, but we got two other calls here. We'll try to get them in.
Thanks. So. Have a great day.
And bye. You too.
Good listening to you guys.
Thank
bye.
You. And we'll just stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Tom in Montana. How are you fellas today?
Good, good, Tom. How are you?
Real good, real good. Say, you said they were putting them atheist books in those prisons. Well, they don't believe in the word, so then books must be blank, huh?
Yeah, it must be. Unfortunately,
hey,
I think they're not.
I wanted to give a praise report. I prayed for us on pneumonia and stuff like that, and I'm healed of that, and I sure do appreciate your prayers. And I want to thank you all for that, and hope you guys have a blessed day.
All right, thank you.
I'll let you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We do need to give him thanks for our healing. And we'll go back
to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name's Ellis. I go through the different shortwave channels, and y'all have quite a program. And there is a Bible in Oregon that is a Septuagint Bible with a New Testament. Y'all may know about it. It's not been available for almost a year, and because of a second edition, so he's made some corrections, and the pages will be a little different numbered, and just want to let y'all know that it does exist. I've heard from different people on shortwave through the years that some preachers don't want anyone near, even near, a Septuagint Bible. This is not like the Thompson 1808, which is just English. This is English under each Greek word, Strong's number above the Greek word, and it has its own concordance in the back, which takes all the Greek words of the Old and New Testament and puts them in Greek alphabetical order, which I don't think has ever been done.
Well,
that's the New Testament.
Sounds pretty interesting. Yeah, a translation from the Greek of the New Testament.
And I'm not endorsing his translation. I'm just saying it's a very useful tool to reconsider what Hebrew may have meant, and it makes a terrific companion to the J.P. Green Hebrew Greek interlineal, which is not really carryable in the, if you get it in the one, not two volumes, but one volume, it's too big to carry in a church all the time. But this Bible is small enough to carry, and the name of it is the Apostolic Bible. Sometimes they put polyglot at the end of it. And by Charles Vanderpool.
Well, I tell you what, Ellis, we'll sure look into that. We've seen some New Testament Septuagints, you know, translations from the Greek, and but we'll sure take a look at this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellis.
Bye-bye.
And we might have time for, we've got a couple minutes left. One, oh, lost that caller, so. Well, phone line sure ringing there for a little while, and we're down to just a couple of minutes before we've got to wrap things up here today. Guys, any closing thoughts here?
Yeah, I just want to read something out of this Geneva Bible in the section on the history and impact of the Geneva Bible. For generations after its first printing, the Geneva Bible remained the Bible of personal study in England, Scotland, and then in America. A 1579 Scottish edition of the Geneva Version was the first Bible printed in Scotland. It soon became the standard of the Scottish Kirk. The Scottish Parliament required that every household worth 300 marks and every yeoman or burgess worth 500 pounds have a Bible in the vulgar tongue in their homes under penalty of 10 pounds. That's amazing. They knew the importance of the Bible
right.
So much that they fined people for not having it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, as I've talked to people this week, and they've sent in emails and talked to them on the phone and stuff, one thing that's different, Bible, you read the first 7, 8, 10 pages or whatever before you really even get into the scriptures, because it gets you locked into that, and just that is astounding, just those first sections. So, haven't heard anything bad about it, other than the study notes are that of man, so you can't take that as law, but they are from the Protestants who fought to bring the Bibles to the people, and the Protestants who gave their life to get God out to the people. So,
amen. Amen.
That's important.
And again, a reminder, that's one of the newest additions here at Scriptures for America. We do have the Geneva Bible in a black leather bound. Also comes with a CD of the Geneva Bible in a PDF format. But we have that available for a $40 offering, including shipping. And
which is a great buy.
If you
go down to the bookstore, the Christian bookstores.
It retails.
This will be $80 to $100.
Yeah, I think it retails about $59, yeah. And we've seen some online for less than that retail, but then you've got shipping and everything else. But anyway, we do have it for $40 for shipping included, and not to make us money. We're not making anything on that. It's just getting it out to you and covering the cost. And so if you'd like that, you can write to us, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And as we wrap up this Coffee with the Wranglers, we do want to invite you to church. Come to church with us tomorrow at the La Porte Church of Christ. If you're in Colorado, give us a call so we know you're stopping by, but you can just go to your computer, to the website, and join us there. If you go to scriptures4america.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, in the upper left-hand corner, just click on the live video stream. It'll ask you what do you want? You want Windows Media? You could be like Josh in your deer stand and watch us on your iPhone if you have that. The program goes right to there. So even if you're traveling or whatever, you can join us at church. But again, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, noon on the East Coast. Join us for a review of the news, a welcome by John, some good Holy Spirit-inspired Christian music, hymns, singing praises to the King of Kings, a communion service, and a Holy Spirit-inspired message by Pastor Peter. So we hope you'll join us there. And men, we thank you for joining us here, and thank you, Remnant. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make 'em hell send forever. knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, they hide.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, they hide.